Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca.
All right, here we go. For those of you that are here for the first time, my name is Pastor Lynn, and this is my 18th year time. I've been doing this for 35 years, so we'll get to that in a moment, but my message, welcome on the podcast for those that are listening. Actually, I got a phone call from somebody that listened to my podcast from June 23rd, or wherever it was, and I haven't talked to this fella for 33 years. He's listening to your podcast today in Sarnia, Ontario. It's like, I got a story there, but I got a few more stories, so it's going to be a story day, guys. So I'll get to my story in a moment. But anyways, this is about how I feel. This is my last message here, and this is just about how I feel. I just feel so abandoned. Not abandoned by him, but I just feel abandoned to him. Me, there's a big difference, right? I just want to jump. Like it's like Edie and I say, I've said before, it's like an Ebenezer. We're just they're moving into the promised land, and they put these stones up, and it was going to be a place of remembrance, a place of memorial. And he says, "This is Ebenezer. Thus far, the Lord has helped us." And there was another spot where Samuel said to the children of Israel, "We've never been this way before. We don't know what this is going to look like. I don't know what this is going to look like, but I can tell you, that's about how I feel. And yes, I am absolutely torn. And there's going to be some emotion, probably. I grew up in a family of Germans, you know, so it was like, you know, you can't show emotion, and it was like, you know, you just kind of suck it up, buttercup kind of thing. But I don't have a problem with emotion, it's emotionalism. So, like, if there's a bit of emotion here this morning, like, just roll with the flow, I go with the punches. But, you know, have you ever heard of that little TLC thing? TLC? Tender Loving Care? Well, this is TCL. This is TCL. You know what that means? I just made it up. TCL means the cost of love. Do you get that? If you don't think there's a cost to love, maybe you could ask the Father when his son was hanging on the cross. I'm not relating to that, but yeah. So anyways, here we go. I'm going to get to my story in a moment, but I really feel I want to lay this out first. And so if we could bring this verse up here. It's from John chapter 1, verse 45 to 46. My message title this morning is Come and See, and you'll have that all woven together here as we get through this. Right? I'm going to get through this, Lord. He's been faithful for 35 years. Jesus is showing himself to a few of the disciples. This is the first chapter of John, so it's the beginning of his ministry. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one." You know, it's great to be a seeker, and I was a seeker over in India and over here and over there and chasing over in Hawaii and all the drugs and everything else that was going on in my life and staring on some mountaintop with my legs crossed and going, "Omni, omni," you know, all this sort of stuff. But, you know, it's great to be a seeker, but, you know, sooner or later, you got to be a finder, amen? Well, folks, I want to let you know I'm a finder. I finally found the one that I was looking for all those years. So anyways, it's good to be a seeker, but, you know, sooner or later, you've got to be a finder. So Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one that Moses wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nazareth, Nathanael responded, "Can any good thing come from there?" And Nathanael asked, "Come and see," said Philip. What a way to answer people's questions. Now, what do you guys do at that church? Come and see. You're driving, and my wife would say, "Oh, Len, I got to go to the hospital and pray for somebody." And they, what are you doing there? "Oh, come and see. Come and see. Come and see the work. Come and see what God is doing. Come and see. Come and see what God, what's that wedding? Oh, come and see what this is all about. Come and see what this is all about." What a beautiful way to answer people's questions. Jesus came, they did come. Nathanael and Philip did come, and they did come and they did see. And Jesus said this, "You believe," he said this to Nathanael afterwards. He said, "You believe because I told you, I saw you under the fig tree. But you're going to see greater things than this." Isn't that exciting? Well, that's exciting to me. It should be exciting to you. Do you see what God sees? Do you hear what God hears? Are you watching and you seeing the world? It's like the prayer of Elisha with his servant. He says, open his eyes, and the kingdom of God is all around us. Heaven's all around. Open our eyes to see. Some of the only vision people have is their tunnel vision. Amen. But notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, come and listen. Did you catch that? He didn't say, come and listen. He said, come and see. Folks, this is exciting. It's okay to, it's very okay to listen. You're doing that this morning. But the best, you know, he wants us to add something to our experience. In Luke chapter 20, I'm just going to go through a few verses here, if you allow me. Luke chapter 2, the shepherds returned after they saw in the manger, returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they heard and saw, seen. The centurion, Madeline, remember the centurion? He did that thing. We were at the Westman Auditorium, and I was John the Baptist. Can you remember that? Well, I could do this by quote. This is one of my lines. I was John the Baptist with the chains rattling and the beard, the whole thing. I had hair back then. You guys laugh at all the wrong times. Like, seriously. Like, I mean, it's just like, you know, it's just more skin to kiss. What's the problem, you know? So John was a bit discouraged, and he was just his faith was waning, and so he sent a couple of boys to so Jesus replied to John's messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Remember that, Madeline? You know, Job chapter 42, this is what Job says after 42 chapters of this. My ears have heard of you, talking about the Lord. My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. And there was a totally different fruit from seeing God. Folks, we need to encounter. There needs to be a time when we actually experience and encounter the living God in our lives. It's wonderful to hear. It's okay, it's wonderful. That's part of how we set it up. But it's also, there's going to be a come and see that's coming, folks. And it's here even now. Acts chapter 6, another one. Acts chapter 8, verse 6. When the crowd heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. And then the whole city was taken by joy. Can you imagine shifting the culture of a city? Shifting the culture of this community with just the presence of the Lord. Man, that beats in my heart. It's a beautiful thing. Okay, let's bring up this next slide. Okay. Yeah. You see what I have to put up with? Like, no wonder I'm going. No, I'm just kidding you, folks. If this is your first time, it's okay. I have a thing. Anyways, never mind the captain. Okay, yeah, I love you too. Not them. I was going to say down the road that this is the greatest, the most, the best office staff that I've ever worked with in 35 years. The best office staff I've worked with in 35 years. But after that, I take it back. Okay, is there another slide, or can we just stop there? Okay, here we go. Now we're going somewhere. What do we got for time? I'm all right. Yeah. Just focus on this first line here. We'll get this. Christianity is a contact sport. Do you understand that? It's a come and see. Christianity is a contact sport. We've been called to experience abundant life through all of the senses. The kingdom is an all-inclusive invitation to a great adventure. Amen. It's close encounters of the God kind. Folks, you young people today, you have to understand this is not just a rote thing. Go through the motions, do the good little duty so I can get to heaven. Folks, this is an encounter. This is eternal life, that they might know him. This is an invitation to a relationship with the creator of the universe. And let me tell you, he knows how to do adventure. It's an amazing, wonderful thing. Now, life is not always easy. Amen? But God is always good. I say all the time, I say, you know, this Christian life isn't hard. It's impossible. The only one who can live it is Christ through you, the hope of glory. And folks, the greatest lie I think that's ever been sown is you can think you can do this Christianity on your own. You need God. Yes. Unless, in Hawaii, Shambach told us, it was very clear, here's my secret to my ministry. unless you abide in me, quoting John 15, unless you abide in me, you can do nothing. Oh, you may be about doing a lot of things, folks. You may look really good. You may even get on Fortune 500. But in terms of kingdom perspective, the Bible says, unless you abide in me, you can do nothing. I don't want to live my life in vain. Thank you, Jesus. Well, look at this verse here. Look what it says. 1 John chapter 1, 1. This is a 1, 1, 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have what? Heard. Which we have what? Seen with our eyes. Which we have looked at. And which our hands have what? Touched. That's which we can think. That's which that. Well, you know what the rest of it says. You can all read. It's the senses. It's everything. It involves all of it, folks. And God wants to speak our love language through all of those senses. Like, you know, it's our hearing. Folks, I don't know if you can hear it, but I can hear it. Darkness is rumbling. Just look at the news every once in a while. But you know what? The darkness is rumbling, but heaven is roaring. Heaven is roaring. I can hear it. It's roaring, folks. It's just getting louder and louder. The Father's getting louder. Taste. You know what Psalm 34 says? Taste. Taste and what? Taste and see. He didn't say, come and sit in a pew and ho-hum through the service and hope it's lunchtime and get out there, see who else you can meet and where the cute girls are. It wasn't. But taste and see the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, and then Paul in the New Testament goes like this to the like the newborn babes. Now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. Folks, he's a good God. Taste that. He's good. Folks, he put them in a garden for heaven's sakes. Adam and Eve were in a garden with beautiful crystal clear brooks flowing through it. You could probably catch master angler walleye in or something. I don't know, but I mean there's fruit trees, pomegranate trees where you could pluck pomegranates. No, folks, it wasn't a wasteland. It was a good land. And when he was going to lead them in out of exile, when he's going to take them into the promise, he said, this is a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. It wasn't some dried up, dead place where we're going to yawn through. No, folks, it was even exile. He said, well, we'll get to that in a moment. Jeremiah 29 in captivity was a beautiful thing. So like taste this and hear it and smell it and touch it. Folks, my last message here was just called held. If I could leave you with one word, understand that you're held. Just one touch from the Master, amen? Just one touch from the Master. He's the pearl of great price. He's priceless. Folks, Jesus changes everything, and he is my everything, amen? Jesus is not just a game changer. Yeah, he's a game changer, but he's a revolutionary. He'll tear your world apart. He'll turn it upside down. He's a lifesaver. He saved my life. Not only did he save my life, he is my life, amen? Should be your life. He's my rescuer. He's my healer. He's my beginning and my end. He's the first and the last. He's my future and my past. Folks, if God can save me, he can save anybody. If he can touch me, he can touch anybody. Amen? So let's look at the world like that, with that perspective. Psalm 46 and verse 10 says, come and what? Come and see the works of the Lord, folks. It's not just work. It's works. It's multiplication. It's not just subtraction and division. It's addition and multiplication here, folks. It's power evangelism. We're not just spectators. We're participators. And there's a power encounter that's coming, folks, that I really want to encourage you. It's gonna blow the world wide open. It's going to be... You know, Jesus had a very unique training model. Look at his training model. He had a very unique training model. He didn't put people in a lecture hall. It was more like a gym. Yeah. Go. They didn't know how to pray it. Go. 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 He's stirring. And folks, if God can use me, you know, he can use anybody. Like, honestly, like, come on, folks. It's all hands on deck. Let's go for this thing, right? All right. There's my message. Let's all go home now. I feel good. I haven't cried yet. All right. So I found out another week or so ago that I was supposed to speak this morning. And I was like, oh, come on, you guys. I've been doing this for 18 years. What else? Last message, we always want to, you know, making Jesus big enough or Jesus your ride or something like that, right? And so I actually went to City Hall. We prayed at City Hall, Jack and Peggy. And you should ask them if you don't think you can smell God. Just ask them sometime. They'll tell you. And no, I'm serious. And so we went to City Hall, and my good friend George, I'm gonna throw some names around every once in a while. So, and if your name doesn't get mentioned, don't go. Well, he never mentioned me, though. Well, you know, that's two strokes against him. Yeah, I'm gonna take that offering back. No, screw that, man. I thought he was my buddy. You know, I just, it's going to come out there. And sometimes I always ask people about their names, you know, if I can use it. But today it's my last message. What are you going to do, fire me? I only got three days left. So suck it up. So anyways, where was I at? George. Yeah, he's a good friend of mine. He's one of the best. Thanks, George. So we go, we have a coffee after. He said, well, you want to go for coffee? And I'm kind of, I got to be, no, he just told me this morning I got to speak on July the 28th. And so I said, like, George, I really don't know what to speak on. And maybe, you know, I'm not putting any pressure, but, you know, ponder it for a couple of days and come back to me. And what do you think I should talk about? He says, I don't have to think about it. He goes, I go, what? He says, then he says, get personal. I go, you know me, right? Like, it's like, yeah, great. My wife used to come to the services to hear me speak because I'm a very private person. It's like, none of your bloody business what's going on in my life. So anyways, it's like, what do we do now? Get personal. So guess what? Yippee. It's like, and 4:37 in the next morning, I was in the dark and I rolled over and I had a pen and because sometimes, you know, I just start writing stuff. And this is basically what I... So these are my stories. Now, I'm not going to knock it out of the park with all the stories about how when God visited us. That happened all the time. Not all the time, but it has happened. Those beautiful encounters. But I want to say this. I am convinced that God is just as interested in the ordinary day-to-day stuff as he is the mountaintops. Okay? I really want you to catch that. Relationships are important to me, and I think they're important to him. I know they're important to him. And family is really big. At the end of it, I want my family to say, we had a lot of fun. I'd rather be remembered as the dad who jumped off 50-foot cliffs when he was 63 and lived, don't forget, rather than the preacher who yelled too loud. Okay, do you get that? Memories. Remember my definition of success? It's when the memories make you smile. I got a lot of memories that make me smile. I got 1,000 memories, but I'll try not to bore you. I should be done by 5:30. But I want you to understand, to you, they're just stories, right? I'm standing there watching our house burn, smoke billowing out, and I realized that everything of value walked out of the door on two legs, and I looked down at the footprint. That's just a story to you, if you were there for that story. But to me, it's life-changing. So please understand, and I really believe that at 4:37 in the morning, my mind isn't working. It has to be the Holy Ghost, so I'll blame it on God. If it works, I'll take credit. If it's not, I'll blame it on God. I do have a couple of W's here. I got 1,000 memories, but I got a couple, and they're all woven together with W. So I'm going to go through this. And the first one is works. Of course, one of the very first things that jumps to mind when we talk about the W, the works, is my wife's healing. And if you were here for the first time, you don't know, but you've been here on through our journey. You know, the healing that she had is just, it was a miracle. You come and see. It's a come and see, folks. It's not just a come and hear. You're looking at a miracle. And now she teaches halfway around the world. That's an impossibility for where she was. And I can still remember being, we were at the Corn Apple Festival there in Morden, and I hadn't watched her eat an apple in 28 years. I didn't care if it was organic or whatever kind of apple you wanted to give her. She couldn't eat it. Her mouth would just go red and swell up. And she pushes through the crowd like that woman with the issue of blood, and she grabs an apple and she eats the apple. It's like, wow. I had tears in my eyes. It was just beautiful. It's just incredible. And of course, we can't forget the corn and apple. Were you there with us? Our life group went there, right? And we were going to go. Let's call Amanda. Where's Amanda? Is she? Oh, there's Amanda. Yeah. Are you the cat lady? Yeah, there she is. So we call Amanda, and Amanda, her mom lives there. She's our receptionist. She's the first one to answer the phone. And so we said, where's a good place to eat? We're going to bring all these pastors and life group, you know, and I'm, you know. So we're going to go to this thing, and she called, Mom, let's go to the Rock. So we go to the Rock, and there's about 45 motorcycles out there. So we're all walking in there and thinking, okay, this is going to be an interesting place. It's a big cloud of smoke, but not the fire kind. It's more the that kind, you know. And we're going in. This is before it's legal. And we're going, and we're joking about there's probably going to be a dance pole right in the middle of the, you know. And so we walked in there, and honest to God, we were the first one through. He says, there's a dance pole right in the spotlight for strippers. All right, what are you going to do with that? Well, just smiling. A lot of work, a lot of healing, a lot of good stuff. Okay, let's move on. I got to go. Let's go to the Word. Okay. You're looking at somebody that got my purpose. I got my purpose through the Word. Luke chapter 1, verse 2. Okay? The greatest tragedy in life is not death. The greatest tragedy in life is not death. It's a life without purpose. So anyways, I got my purpose in the Word, from the Word. I remember, and I got no way of explaining it to you, I think it was Don Mitchell, we were at a prayer meeting there, and I heard whistling. I heard whistling. Nobody was whistling, but I heard whistling. Now just take this through your teeth, however you want to try to explain it. You can't explain. If you can put God into a formula, he's not God. So I'm not talking about click your brain off on the door here. You know, what did Ravi say? I want believers to think and thinkers to believe. But I heard whistling and I'm going, well, then I realized this is, my dad always whistled in his workshop. So this was the Father's workshop. He was whistling. And anyways, there was a pegboard there and I could see it where all these people were praying and doing their thing, but I could see it like a vision, whatever you want to call it. And there's a pegboard, but there was no, you know, that spray paint for the hammer to go there and the vice grips to go here, and all. There was nothing on the wall. And I go, then I heard in my spirit, however, internal audible voice, however you want to say that, I said, there's no tools in this workshop. And I heard, the tools that I build with, Len, don't fit your hand. They fit your mouth. I build with words. If you don't think that's true, read your Bible. Through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted. Through the mouth of the wicked, it is destroyed. All right, so let's go with some words. Again, there's no particular order or of importance here with some stories or that sort of stuff, so try not to. But I'm just going to start at the start, and I'm going to go till the time's up. And my son's here, so that reminds me of a wonderful quote from one of my favorite quotes, anyways. It's Jyn Erso, and here's the quote. Saw Gerrera used to say, one fighter with a sharp stick and nothing left to lose can take the day. They've no idea we're coming. They've no reason to expect us. If we can make it to the ground, we'll take the next chance and the next, on and on until we win or the chances are spent. So I'm just going to start at the start and go till the time's up. You know, folks, God takes risks. We got nothing to lose. If you don't think God takes risks, take a look at me. I think I can use Len. I mean, you know, it's like I'm not quite sure this recipe is gonna work. But you know, come on, folks, you got nothing to lose. You weren't born to lose. You were born to choose. You know, one of my favorite stories was the preacher over there in the third, over there somewhere east. And he was in between breaks, and he was walking around in the marketplace, and there was a store there, and it was all, you know, oriental. And he was walking around, and there was a tattoo spot, and there was a tattoo shop there. And in the corner of the tattoo shop, they saw a sign, Born to Lose. And he just stopped. The speaker just stopped as he's telling the story. He said, I was walking around, I saw this Born to Lose. So he went in and up the stairs to the shopkeeper, and he asked the shopkeeper, he says, you got a tattoo there, Born to Lose? Like, are you serious? Like, somebody would tattoo Born to Lose on their skin? And the shopkeeper looked him in the eye and said, before tattooed on arm, tattooed on mind. Come and see. All right. When I came to Brandon, that's what the Lord said. Come and see. So my first night here, I'm in an induction service. And I don't know if there was any, I mean, there was nobody here. It was like, well, Len's coming, who cares? Oh, who's this guy? That's with Mike Davis, of course. We've been together for 31 years, or, you know, minus the 18 now. But anyways, so I didn't know anybody. I didn't know anybody. And so Mike left the next day on holidays. It was like, oh, now what do I do? So I remember Shirley Raisin was in the office. Doing, you know, she was the administrator, and so I came in. I was like, "What do I do here?" And she said, "Well, you can read your Bible." You laugh. Well, we were. So, I mean, I'd get 22 phone calls a day over there. We're building two additions to the church, and I was in charge of the building project. You know, so it was like I was a builder. It's like, I can read my Bible. I was like, whoa, that's pretty good stuff. My introduction to Brandon was the place where I could read my Bible at work. I thought, oh, this is so much fun, man. I'm gonna have a blast here. About that week, a couple days later, I got a phone call from a man named Rod Fezzik. He said, let's go out for coffee. I didn't know who Rod Fezzik was. We went out for coffee. I never would have thought that 18 years later we're still going for coffee. You got to understand, I didn't do coffee. I don't even know what a coffee shop looks like. I mean, until I got here, I didn't, you know, so it was a problem. He also introduced me to the Bar Baraka. Ever know what a Bar Baraka is? It's the coming of age. It's a ceremony in Hebrew, but it's for Christians, you know, for when you become a boy and now you are a man. It's a Bar Baraka for men and a Bat Baraka for a woman. It's not an age reference at all. So Rod allowed me to do that. He asked me to do it, and I found out it's a very important ceremony. And so he allowed me to do it for Mitch, his son, and for Sabrina, his daughter. Jim and Sherilyn Bambers, they did it at the hotel. Is Josh here? Where's Josh? Josh's over there. Look at this. Now see, if you want to get married, have a Bar Baraka, because there's Sabrina sitting right with them. They're happily married. Look, they're married. Beautiful ceremony. Beautiful time. I just love watching people grow. You know, this longevity thing is underrated. I mean, you stick around long, you can see people growing. You know, it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's just beautiful. Watch this fine young man and this young woman here shining for us. It's just great. We had a Bar Baraka for Josiah. It was actually, had nothing to do with us. Glenn, Pastor Glenn, the guy that was over here trying to play the keyboards. I've always wanted to do this. I'm going to show you guys how to play this thing, man. No. Our son came back. Well, I could make it fall over like he did. My son came back from Mexico, Glenn. I think it was a hero holiday or one of those trips you took down there. And then we had to go from there. We had to go to my nephew's wedding just out of Ottawa in Calabogie. And we drove for a couple thousand miles, and it was like something happened to our son. He came back a man. Here. The Bar Baraka. What about Jordan? Are there any men here, fathers, that have daughters? Could you put your hands up? Am I just making this up, or your daughter never grows up? She's always going to be my little girl. Are you crazy? No, trust me. Jordan told, she told us that she was a woman. I think at about age 7. It's like, I'm a woman, Daddy. Throw her red hair back there and let us know what's going on, right? Yeah. My kids. Reminds me of Manhattan Beach Center, of course. A lot of you go there, a lot of rich times, or then some baptisms. Right, Todd? Just off the dock there. Singles, spoke at a couple singles retreats. I was a camp pastor there, and there was 3 Smiths. None of us related. The morning speaker was a Smith, the evening speaker was a Smith, and I'm the camp pastor, I'm a Smith. 3 Smiths. But my favorite story from Manhattan Beach was, I don't know if you know Chuck Burton. Any of you know Chuck Burton? He says, I'm going to take you. Oh, yeah, you'd know. He says, Len, do you want to go on a cowboy ride? And I'm going, what's a cowboy ride? So he gets me out on the Sea-Doo. And a point of a cowboy ride is to knock the guy off the back. I am not competitive at all, but don't ever try to knock me off a Sea-Doo. It's not going to happen. We grew up on the water. Our kids, we spent a lot of time with water sports. So he's driving around with this cowboy ride thing, and we're going all over the place. And he did get me off one time, but it was the time when the Sea-Doo was upside down. So I'd rather fall off than drown. You know what I mean? So he was off too. But anyways, we came back to shore, and I really held on. And so I was laying on the beach, and people think I could not get up. I mean, my legs were just shaking like that, you know. And I said, I'm not going to let anybody know that stuff, man. I just laid on the beach, pretend I'm getting the suntan. Give me some suntan lotion there, babe. So I'm just laying there like this, you know. And there was somebody that was trying to shine for my son. And so they're out doing some water sports there, and our daughter came in. And my son had been in the military, and he just came back from 6 months in Afghanistan. And you could hear them laughing out in the water and all this sort of stuff. So my daughter comes back, and because she's coming, and he's still out there playing. I'm laying there with my shaky legs, and she looks out over the water at Pelican, and she says, "It's so good. It's so good. It's so good to see old Josiah." Yeah. Speaking of the kids, remember it was the Mexico thing, and you were trying to raise some money to get the kids to go to Mexico or something like that? And so they were bidding for the kids for a day, right? That kind of slave for a day. Is that what you called it? Or, yeah, I don't know what they call it. But anyway, it worked out. So our daughter was up there in the thing, and Jolisa. Anybody know Jolisa? Well, Jolisa, I don't know what was going on, but anyways, I just couldn't keep going. He was up over $300. I couldn't do it. Not that she's worth a million, right? She's priceless. But anyhow, Joe bought her. Anyways, for the day. I don't get what you guys have for a sense of humor. I've been here. Anyways, so they go to Mexico, right? That was what it was all about. Anyway, we were talking to the kids once. And we asked them, has it really been hard being a PK, like a pastor's kid, like call them PKs, right? Is it hard being a pastor's kid? And both of them, like that, they do a lot of things together. You know, they went off to school together. She left home and he left home. They got baptized. We love talking to each other. So both of them together responded the same way when I asked them the question. Is it hard being a PK, being a pastor's kid? And they said, are you kidding, Dad? It's been the other way for us. It's been such a blessing. So thanks, Bethel. I'm still in the Word. I better get going here. Come and see. I learned so much. I learned to see heaven is everywhere. I learned so much about myself and friendship. I'm not in and out of the church, okay? I'm not just talking about in the church. But I mean, Dr. Turner took me sailing at Clear Lake. It was just like, oh, wow. It was just like, wow. And there were some rich times and just seed being planted, you know. And I remember one time I was in the superstore. And I'm walking along, and this guy comes up to me, and I've never seen him before. I haven't seen him since. He walks up to me, and he kind of hesitantly comes up, and he just goes, I said, I'm not that big. What are you scared about, buddy? But he comes up to me, and he says, are you Pastor Len? I says, yeah, I'm Pastor Len. He goes, your wife, she sings at the Wheat Kings games. And says, well, she hasn't for a while. She's overseas right now, but yeah, she does. She used to sing the national anthem at the Wheat King game. Bum ba bum ba bum ba 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 bum bum. No, that's not the national anthem. wrong. I know I'm all over the place here. So he said, your wife sings the Wheat Kings games. Could you just tell her when she sings, we feel the difference? God keep our land glorious and free. Boy, do we ever need to pray that? It's a church without walls. It's got to be our starting point for vision is our Jerusalem. You've got to look outside these walls. It's wonderful we come back in here and just kind of do what we do. But our daughter, I remember our daughter, they both worked at Wendy's, and maybe I got this wrong, but when they sent her off there, or she was leaving, she was going over wherever she was going, I can't remember. I mean, it must have been the university. And they had this big wing thing for her. And the owner's son, who basically runs Wendy's, they had this thing for her, which is just taboo. You don't do this for part-time staff, but they did this thing for her. And he gets up and he says, Jordan, you were the nicest human being that I've ever met. That's what the kingdom's all about. Okay? Friendship. Wow. In every situation I've learned that God asks you, did you learn something about me? Whatever you're going through in life, you're going to find out, did you learn something about me? I went to Trinidad. I was 1 year old in the Lord. I was going to help God out. I was a builder, right? So I'm going to help God out. Hey, you know where this is going, right? I'm going to help God. Are you serious? You with your big muscles? Yeah, right. I'm here till Thursday. You know, it's kind of like we up north, we used to carry these Christmas trees. We could cut a Christmas tree down, not just go to the Dairy Queen and pick it up, right? You cut a Christmas tree down and haul it out of the bush, and I'd be hauling it out of the bush, you know, through 3 feet of snow, and my kids would be holding up the tip of it. We got it, Dad! We got it, Dad! Yeah, that's about what you're doing. That's about what you're doing. So anyways, I thought I was coming to Brandon, going to help God out. Well, boy, did he ever show me a few things. I thought it was about you, but it really was about me, and I want to thank you again, Bethel. I remember the first night. It was not the first night, but it was a couple, well, it was, there was first snow, so it was, I don't know, probably August. All right. Okay, I don't know when it was. It was fall anyways, and there's snow on the ground, and I'd spoken here on judging. Don't judge. Judge not. Jesus said, do not judge. And people get this so wrong about judging. They think, you know, I'll say, well, you have a three-car garage. Don't judge me. So I'm not judging. I just made an observation. Are you guys crazy? That's not judging. We are wired to judge. We're supposed to be judging. We're going to judge angels, for heaven's sakes. Judging is when you assume to know why somebody did what they did. Like, why didn't Pastor Len use my name? Are you crazy? I'm so full of stuff right now, I don't even know where I'm coming or going. Like, you know, that's judging. So anyways, I came home from that service, an evening service, and I came home. I had to walk. We had a Dalmatian back then, and I was walking him down the back lane, and it was like 11 o'clock at night, and the stars were just shining really bright. I just remember this so beautifully. I'm walking the dog. It's 11 o'clock at night. I'm on the back lane, and I don't use a leash because I grew up in the north. Like, you don't use leashes. I know. Don't get mad at me and send me texts or something about it. So anyways, and then down from Park Street comes this headlights. And I'm going, really spiritual, I'm going, oh, come on. Like, what are you doing on this road? It's a back lane. It's middle of the night. I mean, now I got to get the dog on the leash and get him off to the side and let you go. Because it's one lane, right? It was one of the folks that had been at the service that night. I was going to go in the Monday morning and quit. I go, after I'd preached on judging, I go, Lord, we are not even close to being on the same page. I have no idea why you brought me here. It's just a bad mix. It's oil and water. Not that it was better or worse. You made a mistake with this guy. They do. So anyways, I'm walking down this road, and I'm going to quit Monday morning. This is about 11 o'clock Sunday night after I spoke. And down the road comes this guy. I got the dog, the Dalmatian, over to the side here, and he comes. He stops. I said, oh, great. And as it goes, Jesus loves you. Peace, brother. No. It was somebody from the service. And he explained judging and my message, not my message, but better than I could have done it. He pulled off. He would never have known. He drove on, and I walked down that road. And I said, God, I'm not going to question you ever again. Well, that's the word. That's wisdom. I'm going to get it done here. Better move. Wisdom. Wow. I got so much in wisdom. Marketplace focus. We got this message when we first came here. Somebody gave my wife this thing. It's from Jeremiah 29. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all they carried in Babylon. Build houses, settle down, plant gardens, and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives. Morgan, I had nothing to do with this, honest to God. It's a God thing. Find wives for your sons. Give your daughters in marriage so they can have sons and daughters. Seek the peace and the prosperity of the city. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. It's peace and prosperity. Pray for the city. And that's the mandate we've got at City Hall. I've been doing that for 18 years. So we have a marketplace focus. The mayor, Dave, and I, we had a really good relationship, all positive relationship with our. Remember, the mayor was here one time, and Pastor Mike Davis was doing this thing on the resurrection power, and I was in the casket till about, you know, 35 minutes into the message. Then I popped up, and the And the first two rows just left. I'd get scared if I popped up too in her casket. But anyway, it was like we had a great relationship. Teen Challenge, Gwen Taylor. I remember she invited some folks in from Ireland. They were just coming back from a prophetic conference. Where's Gwen? I saw her this morning. He brought that group in. They were just back from Ireland, right, in the prophetic conference. And I just came. It was the college and careers. I'm not college and careers. I'm 65, for heaven's sake. Well, I'm at that then. I was sitting right back in there where Sheldon is, right there, that spot. But we had pews. And he looks over there and goes, this guy gets up there and he goes, hey, you. And I was sitting there with my head and my hands just kind of disappearing right there, very prophetic. He goes, hey, you with a bush shirt on there. I go, oh, that's got to be me. Rats. I lift it up and he says, you have a lot of wisdom. You have a lot of wisdom. And he looks around everybody. There was all college and careers. And he says, you know, you young people, be good to listen to him once in a while. Got that one in there. Welcome. Okay. Seniors, don't get me started on the seniors. They taught me how to die. I'm serious. They taught me how to live. You want to talk about a faith message? That's a faith message right there. He who walks with the wise grows wise. Your success is determined by listening to those who edify rather than crucify. Do you see people through the cross or through the crosshairs? Yeah. Anyways, welcome. Whether it's a sauna up at Q Lake, remember that, Trent? Should have put some clothes on. Anyways, or someone's hand on you, shoulder at the altar. Remember my brother's funeral? The drywall had to get done. Came back, the drywall was done. Another time I was gone somewhere, I forget what it was, conference, something like that, and somebody, by hand, had taken out, we had a thing on the wall, they'd taken out 8 feet of dirt by hand. Anyways, worship, don't get me started on that one. I could say the most about worship, but I'm probably going to say the least. I remember sitting at Phil and Lana's one time, and Michelle, she was Price back then, she's just playing on the piano, and I'm sitting there, I'm just sitting on the floor, it's kind of crowded, and the tears are rolling down my face, and Phil taps me on the shoulder and says, are you okay? And I just looked up at him and said, it's just beautiful. I looked over, my son was there, and he had tears in his eyes. It's just the presence of God. The world, it's a beautiful world, go see it. Someone once told me in the prairies, I learned so much. I just learned to see the beauty. We've been to the Middle East, ministering in the Middle East. My wife's went to university here and overseas now. The Philippines, Israel, Jordan, Japan, Istanbul, China, the BMA, you know, our Judea. I got to stop. Well, let's go. What about Len? I say all the time, I don't want a smaller life. I don't want a smaller life. I want a simpler life. That's the best way I can describe it. And people say, is this a farewell? What's this all about here? I don't know how you know. I'm going to make it really simple for you. This is a farewell to Pastor Len. To Pastor, not to Len. I'm not going anywhere. Too bad you guys thought, yeah, that's a rat. This is going so good. But, you know, that's what it's all about, folks. I'm just moving from Pastor Len to Len. You just know when it's time to shift gears, time to change hats. My assignment, my default for so many years was always yes. Yes, yes, yes. Now my default's going to be no. That's just the way it's going to work. Over this season, it's kind of like you folks that like Bilbo. I feel thin. Sort of stretched like butter scraped over too much bread. I need a holiday. I got things to do. So I can tell you, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I can tell you what it's not going to look like. You're not going to see me driving down 18th Street by the Dairy Queen with my shirt button unbuttoned, gold chain around my neck, listening to Led Zeppelin. Not going to happen. All right. Can you bring up that picture? This is actually from one of my favorite books, Shadow of the Almighty, Elizabeth Elliot over Jim Elliot. This is this picture here, so I actually had one on my desk of me, you know how much I like pictures of me, but this is one of my favorite quotes, and for those folks listening to my podcast, it's just a picture of me up. Me and my friend Roger, we climbed this bluff, this cliff, and we're looking out over the road to Geraldton, my hometown. Highway 11 just splits off past Nipigon. And this is the quote from Jim Elliot. It's exalting delicious to stand with the wind tugging your coattails and the heavens hailing your heart to gaze in glory and give oneself again to God. Amen. Can you catch that? Can you catch that? That's the adventure. That's the fun. That's the purpose. That's everything. It's everything. That's what God wants to do here, folks. That's how you're going to, the power, that's how it's going to happen. Folks, the Apostle Paul had his turn. Now it's your day. It's our day. Let's go. Let's go for this. All right, come and see. What about Bethel? What's happening here, Len? God's happening. I'm so thankful for Pastor Gordon and his wife, his daughter. Wow. I see you. I see you. You know, we had an expression on our kitchen that says, grow old with me. But this is what God can say. Grow old with me. The best is yet to be. The capital. Don't get caught up in kingdom culture. Get caught up in kingdom culture. Don't get caught up in the Western culture. I hope you hear that. Grow old with me, God says, the best is yet to be. And I'll say it again because it's worth repeating. And Leanne is probably going to hate that. She's probably left already. Speaking of best, this is the best office staff I've had that I've ever had the privilege of working with in 35 years. Okay, next slide. I'm done in 1 minute. Come and see, come and see. That was the title of the message. Come and see what? Can you please get this? I want to lift up Jesus, but blame it on George. Get personal. Yeah, right. Yippee. Way to go, buddy. So much for friendship. But please get this. He is completely faithful. And it's TCL. It really is the cost of love. I'm going to finish with a quote from Philippians. If we can bring that up. And I couldn't have written it any better. It's actually Paul. But I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. I am who I am because of you. From the first day until now, I'm being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you. Almost made it. Since I have you in my heart. Thanks, Brandon.
So we're just ending, getting ready to start the service, and we always try and figure out a way to end. And Len says, well, Pastor Mike, why don't you just close in a word of prayer? And I said, thanks a lot. And I almost feel underqualified. I've only been here for the last part of the ride. And so I figure it's just like Len. Come and see, because whenever Len ever preached or did anything, it wasn't look at me. Was always look at Jesus. And so here I am trying to figure out what's an adequate way to end a time like this. Now, tonight there's going to be a celebration, and I'm hoping everyone can make it. And we're going to have a time where I would imagine a number of people will be gathering around and praying. And I didn't want to put you in that position this morning. But do you think that it's possible to extend love? You think that's possible? And so I thought I would end this way. If is there a way you can kind of hug someone where you're standing? So I'm going to say this to every person, like you might be here and you may not even know Len, and so I don't encourage you to do this, but if it is in your heart to do, to extend a hand of love, this is your way of saying, if I can somehow, in some way, take every bit of the love that I have for Len and put it in my hands, I would like to do it right now. And for some of you, say, I can't just do it with one hand. I got to do it with two hands. I'm not too sure. So I'm just going to ask everyone here who has been affected by the whole family, and I'm glad that the whole family is here, because in ministry, it's the whole family that ministers. And in one way or another, I know that all of them have ministered. If you could extend a hand, and as the pastor, I am going to pray a prayer of love that the best way that I can. I know I'm not going to do justice. So if you're here, just begin to extend your hand towards Len. If he has had any kind of ministry that has ministered, or Edie or Jordan or Josiah, and you're just wanting, I want to bottle up every ounce of love that I have for this family, and I want to just do it by extending my hand. So God, I just pray right now in Jesus' name, if love can be extended by some type of a physical gesture, oh God, we just extend our hand as a congregation of love and appreciation. And I pray for the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit just to extend from all over, from every area of the sanctuary where people are just extending their hand of love. And I pray right now in some type of a miraculous way that they will just begin to feel that love. They will feel the presence of God through love and appreciation for all the work that has been done. And God, I just pray, Father, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, as we are here at this time, that this is a special and a sacred time, that, Lord, you will just allow the presence of God to be felt in a dear way in every single heart, oh God. Lord, we love Len, we love Edie, we love Jordan, we love Josiah, and those who are involved in their lives at this time. And God, I just pray for the presence of God to flow. Lord, we're going to have a celebration tonight, and we're going to enjoy that time. But somehow at the end of a service, as Len is winding down ministry, I just pray that we right now will see the presence of God move in this moment. And so, Lord, we pray that you will move. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. And we give you thanks and praise, and we look to you. Come and see through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you. Lord, I just pray that you bless the service tonight, all the things which happen, all the things that take place. It's a time of celebration. And Lord, we just pray for your presence and everything that happens today, we ask in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.